This is Mythical.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits, I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. This week at the Round Table of Dim Lighting, we're asking the question, if you were a boat, what type of boat would you be?
And this might strike you as an odd question. Maybe you've thought about this before. We actually got—
I've never thought about it.
We got this question from Mr. Alex Punch, who has moved on to bigger and better things, still remains good friends. He actually stopped by today. He didn't tell me he was gonna be here.
Mythical crew member, emeritus.
Yeah,
so— let's call him that. So we're happy for Alex as he had a great opportunity working for somebody. It's not me, so I don't— once he told me he had an opportunity and I was— and he— and we heard about the specifics, I was like, oh yeah, okay, well, I don't remember.
No,
I'm not gonna promote his company.
We wish him well.
We love him.
And we're using one of his ideas for this podcast. This is an idea that he actually pitched for an Ear Biscuit. He said that his mother was a child therapist.
He said counselor, I think. Maybe therapist too.
You know, something along those lines. And that this is a question that she gets the children that she works with to ask and answer.
And if we've proven anything, if something's good enough for children, it's good enough for us.
Man children?
Yeah.
It's good enough for children, good enough for man children.
So really this was, it was an idea conceived by Alex's mom. Along with Alex, conceived by his mom.
It's probably in some—
by the way,
it's probably in some sort of book or something that she studied. Well, you think she came up with it?
Let's just say we came up with it. Let's cut everything we just said.
Okay, all right. We came up with this question.
We got this idea that we think would be good for child counselors and therapists. What kind of boat would you be if you could be a boat? Because it gives insight into how you view your own
self,
your personhood, your
and
personality.
What we're gonna answer the question for each other.
Get into that.
We're gonna answer the question for each other as well. We're gonna guess which boat. I'm not trying to guess which boat you described yourself as. I'm just describing— my thought was to describe what boat I thought you were, and you may or may not agree.
Yeah,
and then you can tell me what boat you are, and vice versa.
I know what boat I think I am, and I know what boat I think you are, which I incidentally think is the boat that you think you are.
And I would be— but we are gonna talk about the different types of boats, and so my answers may change. But as it stands right now, just with my limited knowledge of boats that coming into this, I'm not a boat master. You know, I like to think of myself as a waterman, but I've only been in a few boats.
What is a waterman?
It's just a man of the water.
And you think of yourself that way? You think of yourself as a man of the water?
Yeah, like my heritage, you know, those Scots up on the locks.
Okay.
You know, crossing the locks and swimming and boating and Vikings, pillaging villages.
I get it.
But not really doing that personally because I get a little seasick, you know.
I think of myself as a soilman.
Like a
man of the soil.
And I think that your last name— we talked about this at some point. I think that your name Neil means to like kneel and plant a seed.
It doesn't.
It's a man who—
I don't know what it means, but that ain't it.
And caresses the soil. I think it's a farming thing. I do think it is a farming thing.
Yeah.
You know, a man of the soil, man of the water. Water's gotta have soil, soil's gotta have water, so you have mud. And that's why we're the muddied boys.
We're the muddied boys.
Okay, no, not so we're muddied gonna, boys, just the muddy boys.
But we should talk about yesterday, because yesterday was technically a work day, yet—
speaking of child therapy.
We didn't, took advantage of time that we rarely have to not come into the office, and also, red alert, not really work that much. Coming back from Thanksgiving break, I looked at the whole calendar year for 2019 and I was like, I wanna go ahead and put all the stuff on the calendar that we know about, like we're doing a lot of touring stuff, we're shooting a lot of GMM, of course. I wanna know every day in 2019 that we're shooting anything and obligated to stuff.
Right.
And I wanna put blackout dates like the credit card companies do, or like Disney does when you buy an annual pass. So—
right.
Jenna and I worked very hard on this calendar.
So that Blacktop Monday was months old.
That's Thanksgiving last year. Yeah,
oh, wow.
I guess I didn't tell you.
You didn't tell me because it was Sunday night. my wife was with you and Christy.
With, yeah, with Jesse, she was hanging out
and
with us.
And she said, are you working tomorrow? I was like, yeah. And she's like, well, Link's not.
And he was looking, she was with me and she was like, I was like, listen, don't,
you
please
gotta
don't,
tell me these
don't
things.
Put me in the middle of this. It's on the calendar.
Yeah, but it's
on the special Lincoln Jenna calendar.
But it's a Monday.
That you were invited to.
It's a Monday though. It just, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but after tour, I'm not, anyway.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't come in.
Cause watch out buying that annual pass. Look at the blackout dates first.
You show up to Disney and you're
they
like,
turn you away.
What? No.
You have to pay, you have to drop $1,000 to get in there.
So we had a day with our, I mean, I had a day with Shepherd, my youngest. You had a day with.
Well, me and Christy hung out and then.
Middle.
Well, I mean, Christy and I were gonna hang out and do some stuff and the mail had really piled up. But then Lily was sick. She called and had to come home from school. I was like, well, now you gotta go get her and now I gotta figure this out and I'm gonna do a little bit of work. And so then, but then I picked up Lando and then I picked up Lincoln from school. It's just like, whoa, that just feels great to pick up a kid from school. It feels like I'm dadding so hard. Look at me driving up, get in the car, kid. I'm gonna be banging some Chicago. Blast in Chicago. I'm not banging Chicago. Sounds like I'm having sex with the band Chicago.
Yeah.
Which I've never been given that opportunity, so I can't say what I would do.
Or the city of Chicago. I'm sure there's a place, there's an area you could find.
Blasting.
Did you blast it for real?
I blasted it, yeah.
So like with the windows rolled down? So you're trying to embarrass your kids?
Not with the windows rolled down, but when he opened the door to get in, it just spilled out. Chicago just blew out like the Windy City.
And what, was there a
dad,
a quick shut of the door? Or was there an embarrassment factor?
Lincoln doesn't do that. Lily's the one to do that. And Lando, for totally different reasons. Like, I don't know, I won't get into that, but they both have their reasons. But you know, the middle child, he just goes with the flow, man, whatevs. Mm. And he gets in the car and he's like, oh, you got the bikes on the back. I'm using your bike rack a lot. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you haven't brought it back.
I keep using it. Somebody's gotta use it.
Well,
I bought Lincoln a mountain bike.
Like to use it.
Bought Lincoln, well, just call me.
That's not how it works.
Just call me if you need it.
Bring
I really
it back
need
to my
it.
House and then, or get your own.
Well, I already have yours. I really didn't wanna talk about this because I didn't want it to come to this, but.
Because you knew that it would.
It's mine now.
No,
that
it's
bike
not.
Rack's mine. It's you made a good choice in buying it because it works great. So
yeah,
I like
a good
how it
bike
works.
Rack. It's the best, right? Highest rated.
You should get another one for your house,
and then I'll sell it to you for the price of a new one.
I already have one.
Yeah, you're gonna buy me a new one.
So I actually bought myself a new bike, and I gave Lincoln my old bike because I got a bigger one. And
you got a new mountain bike?
I did, yeah.
When did this happen?
I got a 29er. Mm-hmm. When I borrowed the thing from you like 2 months ago.
You got shocks in the front and back, dual?
No, I only got them in the front because my old bike, which Lincoln was going to ride, is a hardtail. And I didn't want him looking at my bike and have any excuse for why he doesn't want to ride with me.
Oh,
so okay. Mine's a hardtail. And so he's like, oh, you got the bikes on the back. I was like, yeah, remember I told you I was gonna pick you up from school. We're gonna go biking. And, he knows, I can't tell if Lincoln's into it yet or if he knows that I'm so into it that he's just being very polite and so he doesn't put up a fight. So we went and we're biking on this single track and it's, I picked something that wasn't too ambitious because I don't want to burn him. The thing is, the last couple of times we've been out, I've taken Lando too and I was very delinquent in teaching Lando to ride a bike. Like literally I taught him to ride a bike 3 months ago.
So you can't
He's
go,
9 years
you're
old.
Not gonna go up and down any hills with that situation.
But then that bike was too small, so then I had to buy him a bike and the only place in town had these like, they were like mountain bikes. And I was like, so he went from learning to ride a bike to a week later, like riding a mountain bike. But that's the key. Don't try to teach You parents out there, don't try to teach your kids at a young age to do anything. Wait until they can basically figure it out on their own and then take all the credit.
That's not
My son learned how to ride a bike in 10 minutes. And 2 weeks later, he was on a mountain bike in the woods because of me, waiting until he was way too old to learn how to do it. That goes for reading, that goes for math, that goes for...
This is questionable on many levels.
It goes for like relationships. Don't have open communication with your kids about anything until it's basically too late. And then you can take all the credit for how they're doing everything perfectly. Yeah, this is kind of fizzling out.
Yeah.
I'm a soil man. It's different for me than most people. But I will say, we get out on this single track and I was like, Lincoln, you go in front of me, that way you can set the pace, I can keep an eye on you, I can bark orders to you. Like, shift down, shift up, like just coaching.
Oh, coaching you call it.
You gotta learn how to mountain bike from the back. Woo. If you're in the front and you're yelling, you can't be heard. Because all of the sound fires forward down the trail. There's horses on this trail. I wanted him to go first in case he was gonna like run up and took us off a horse. That ain't gonna be me. Get a handlebar and a horse took us?
So is he, what kind of, we're not talking going up and down steep grades.
A little bit, yeah.
And he's fine with this.
He's afraid. I took, what I was saying was I took Lando out on this trail a few days earlier. I always get so ambitious and I scare my kids off, and like Lando's like basically huffing and puffing and like breaking down in tears and saying, Dad, you lied to me. You said this is gonna be flat. And I'm like, Lando, you're right. I'm sorry. We can turn around right now. I'm just trying to like patch it up because I don't wanna turn him off from, you know, this my passion.
Mountain biking is your passion?
It was my passion, I lost it. I'm trying to regain it.
Okay.
With my boys, with my children. With Lily too, but she's not up for it. Mm-hmm. So we had to turn around and I'm like, Lincoln, we're gonna come back, just me and you, and we're gonna blaze this trail without the loser kid. And all I mean by loser kid is the one that we kept losing.
Okay.
I love him, he's not a loser, but we kept losing him. So doesn't that make him a loser? That makes me a loser.
On two levels.
That's true. So we went back and we're on this trail and Lincoln's going ahead of me, and I had a moment that I was like, a moment of dad gratitude, de gratitude. And I was like, this is a dream come true. Like literally I've been, well not dreaming, but I've been like daydreaming about this moment where I'm like mountain biking on a single track with my own progeny.
What specifically happened?
Nothing, we just rode the bikes.
Oh.
It was special.
I thought like his helmet got in front of the sun or something.
You thought I was building up to a story?
I thought something specific happened.
That happened, man. A moment of gratitude. Like, I mean, just, you know, you and your boy doing something.
Yeah, I had a crepe with my boy.
You had a crepe? Did you have a gratitude moment with a crepe?
I had an excellent day with Shepherd. I mean, we really had a good time. We got lunch together. He has a crepe problem. If there's a crepe on the menu, he will order it.
How's that a problem?
I would say it's a borderline addiction to crepes. Oh, wow. But you know, there's a lot worse things to be addicted to.
Is he like stealing money from your wallet and you're like, what are you doing? You're like, you like bust in the room and he's like,
I learned it from you, Dad. I saw you eat a thin pancake.
I'm scraping together scratch for a crepe.
But we split the crepe. You know, we each had a sandwich. We split the crepe, having a great discussion. We've each got
Were you in Paris?
No, just, you know, they serve crepes at US establishments.
Oh, cool.
Although this was a French bakery. And then we went to a park that has just all kinds of things going on. And so we each took a book. And I was like, Shepherd, do you have a book that you could read? Because it was a beautiful day. We're going to walk around. We're
going to
find a bench.
Wasn't it the perfect day?
Yeah, and do some bench reading. You know, screw mountain biking when you can read on a bench.
A bench is like a mountain bike.
That doesn't move. Can't get hurt on a bench.
I can prove you wrong there.
But so we go and we Shepherd has in mind, this is a large area and there's all kinds of stuff at this place, and he has a map and he's like, I'm letting him lead, and he's like, you know, he's having a lot of fun. And he's like, we need to find a desolate bench. I was like, I'm on team desolate bench.
He said desolate bench.
I'm completely on board. He said, there's a lot of
people. He's 11 years old, right?
10. He's like, 10. There's a lot of people here.
Desolate bench.
And we need to find a desolate, we need to go to the most desolate place. So we go to a desolate place and I'm like, okay, this is cool. We're talking, we're, you know, making observations about the natural world. And we begin reading and then as soon as we get down, like we read like 2 pages on of our books, and then Shepherd's like, I got to get some water. And he's like, Dad, will you let me use the map to map to a water fountain and then come back?
This is quite a park. It's got its own map.
And I was like, yeah, go for it. Independence, I value that. I'm a proponent of it. He goes, and then really the idea wasn't to get water. It was to go away and then try to sneak up on me.
Oh.
He wanted, and so.
He's got that gene.
Yeah, and so like, I'm
he's
sitting
got the waterman
there, I'm sitting
gene.
There reading and I'm like.
And just what I mean by that is Rhett would do that a lot to me.
Where
as
is
children.
Where is Shepherd? And I just kind of looked and he was like 10 feet behind me sneaking up on me. He's like, oh, Dad!
Just in the open?
Yeah, and then repeatedly he would leave and continue to sneak up on me. And I caught him every time.
Why you gotta catch him every time?
And then he was like.
He let him slip up once.
Can you hear me? And I was like, Shepherd, I know where you're at all times.
Oh, you're playing
that. This is an opportunity to make him feel like he can't escape my watch.
This is giving him the God complex.
But then one of the things, he's like, Dad, there is a, he says, look at these secret, in the little map, it was like, find our hidden spots. This is a large multi-acre situation. And he was like, find our hidden spots. There is a Fibonacci, he couldn't say it. He was like, there's a Fibonacci spiral of rock somewhere in this particular forest. Let's go find it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So we start looking for the Fibonacci spiral, and we didn't find it because ironically, we probably should have done a Fibonacci sequence search pattern in order to find the Fibonacci sequence. But we didn't do that, and we ran out of time. We had to go pick up Locke from school. Anyway, had an incredible time with Shepherd.
Still undiscovered.
He kept saying, I'm having so much fun.
Oh, he kept saying that?
This is great. We're on an adventure.
That's so awesome.
So I had I didn't have a datitude.
De gratitude.
But let me say just one little thing here.
Say it.
And I'm a little bit embarrassed by this. As someone who has an engineering degree and has a lot of mathematical experience,
okay.
I could have picked out a Fibonacci sequence and like if you gave me like 4 images, I could have picked the one that was a Fibonacci sequence, probably because I'm like Brandon Tart got it tattooed on his forearm. And other
it
people-
It looks like a snail
yeah.
shell, right?
Right, but I could not have defined what a Fibonacci sequence is. And maybe you're in the same boat, speaking of transitions to what we're gonna talk about next. But a Fibonacci sequence, it's this fascinating thing. In fact, I actually ordered a book all about it because I'm so fascinated by it. And I'd heard about it and people talk about the golden ratio, but I was always like, I don't really know what that is and I'm not gonna look it up. But essentially a Fibonacci sequence is starting from the number 0 and 1 and then continuing in a sequence where the next number is the sum of the previous 2 numbers. So you got 0 and then 1 and the next number is 0 plus 1, which is 1. The next number is 1 plus 1, which is 2. And then 2 plus 1, which is 3. And then 5 and then 8 and then 13 and then 21. And it continues to add up like that. And then if you take, the way you get that pattern is if you take squares that the length of the side of the squares is the number in the Fibonacci sequence, and you continue to connect the corners of the squares with the next biggest one, it goes out like this and it creates like a snail pattern.
A spiral
that's a very recognizable mm-hmm. pattern. But then if you take any 2 numbers in the Fibonacci sequence, the number and then the number before it, and you divide the number before it by the number after it, you get this number called phi, which you know we know pi is a very popular mathematical number, but phi is like 1.618 something. And that's the golden ratio. And you see it all the time in nature. But also there's many like people who made sculptures who were like, I want the proportions of someone's face, the proportions of the length, the width of their face to be phi. And you see it in like Hank Green's got an old SciShow video where he kind of, in like 3 minutes, kind of explains it and talks about the patterns and how you see these numbers and the sequence show up in nature all the time. Like flowers are usually in, have petals of, you know, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21. And all, it shows up in all these places in nature. And it seems like some magic thing, but really it's just, it's the most efficient way to like pack things into different patterns. Anyway,
you should talk,
super exciting.
You should talk to my wife more about that. She's really into it. You know, she was a math major.
She was.
She was also told as she was in high school that whatever she did with a boyfriend, that her grandma up in heaven was watching her.
Was her grandma Fibonacci?
No, it was just kind of like when you told Shepard that you're always watching him. Oh. So he stays in line.
But I'm super excited to talk to Shepard about it now, because it's like—
Now my wife's grandma watches
me. Watching us.
Watching
right.
me. No, not us.
She's sitting right here.
No, whenever I'm with Christy.
No, whenever
she's watching us.
No, whenever you're with the band Chicago. That's
no, I can't.
That's when she's watching you.
My grandmas are still living, so they only watch me when I'm there or video chat.
But I'm legitimately like, I'm like, now
it's pretty crazy.
I'm ready to go back and A, find it.
I'm talking about the sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, but B, explain to Shepard like this is actually this really cool concept that shows up. And I just felt, you know what it made me think? It made me think that like, I felt like I've been missing out. I was like, why have I never, I've heard people talk about this, and why have I let it just wash over me? 41 years old, consider myself pretty curious. Why have I let the reality of the Fibonacci sequence to just wash over me without ever just taking literally the 30 seconds to look at the wiki to figure out what it is?
I understand the sentiment, but I'll just counter that by saying, also don't let that wash over you, but also don't let, and I'm sure you didn't, let the fact that Shepard told you, especially more than once, that he was having a good time.
Because it was awesome.
The dad, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, like the goal of dadding, we operate under a lot of times, seems to be like, I'm conducting this thing and I want acknowledgement. And so the fact that you got that, that's a big deal. And I actually think if you didn't, you should tell him something similar to what I told Lincoln. Cause I sat Lincoln down at the, when we were coming back from our ride, we were almost done, we sat down on the rocks and finished our water bottles. And I said, I told Lincoln what I just told you. I was like, you know, when we first started riding, you were riding ahead of me, I was thinking, this is like a dream come true for me. I've been thinking about us being able to ride mountain bikes together for like months. And you know, there's a lot of logistics that had to line up, and this is very special. And I just said that. And then we took a picture and I left it at that. I wasn't asking for a response or anything. But the fact that Shepard did that, you know, saying something like, you know, when you said you were having a great time, that made me feel like I just discovered Fibonacci sequence.
Right.
That's what it's all about, man.
Also,
that's the boat you want to get in.
Also, rabbits mate in Fibonacci numbers. I'm gonna teach them about that. That's how I'm gonna
mate
have the
or reproduce.
Well, the results of mating.
Okay.
You know, I'm gonna teach them about sex with Fibonacci. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ear Biscuits is supported by Superfeet.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Well, guess what? Your feet don't have to hurt.
When you add the signature orthotic shape of Superfeet insoles to your shoes, You give your feet comfort and support where they need it most, helping redistribute forces to reduce stress and strain on your entire body, not just your feet.
Super Feet insoles are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. Since 1977, Super Feet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet.
Super Feet insoles upgrade the fit, feel, and function of your footwear to help you feel your best. The signature orthotic shape of Super Feet gives your feet the right type of support where you need it most.
Physicians not only recommend Super Feet to their patients, they wear Super Feet insoles in their own shoes. Super Feet is the number one doctor-worn and recommended insole.
Super Feet has thousands of five-star reviews and is the insole of choice for top athletes on the field, on the ice, and on the slopes, and everywhere in between.
Super Feet has a wide range of insoles for every activity, every shoe, and every foot. From cushioned and flexible to firm and supportive, you can dial in your fit by taking their quick online quiz. We took the quiz. We've got our insoles coming. They're on their way. You just answer a few short questions, and Super Feet will recommend the best insole choice for you.
Visit superfeet.com and enter the promo code EAR at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Okay, boats. So Link, you apparently have a list of different types of boats.
Yeah, I assembled a list and then of every type of boat in existence, and then I uploaded it to a brand spanking new wiki page called List of Boat Types.
That's very thoughtful of you.
This is entirely my work, in alphabetical order. So here's the deal.
Good gracious, there's a lot of boats.
As I read through, I'm not gonna read them all, but I'm just thinking, dear Ear Biscuiteer, maybe one of these boats will resonate with you, you know, so that you'll be able to answer this question. And this is a good conversation for you to have with people that you want to get to know better. Like, say you're on a third date and you're like, hey, baby, what kind of boat would you be if you were a boat?
This is a good, I mean, I think this is first or second date material. Those kinds of questions, those kinds of introspective questions. The third date,
I think it's a little forced for a first date. It's kind of weird, unless you are a therapist.
I mean, I know, I'm a proponent of getting into—
Get weird early?
To those kinds of conversations, because here's the thing. Obviously, I'm not in the dating pool. If I were, and I asked that question to someone, and they were like, I don't know.
Dump them.
I'd be like, okay, there's not gonna be a second date.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't stand that kind of answer.
Right,
so I want somebody to have a freaking answer for something.
All right, that's good. So this is a first date question. You're right.
Yeah.
Hey, if you could be a boat—
This is how you weed somebody out.
What kind
out.
Of boat would you— what, if you could be a weed, what kind of weed would you be?
And if they say, I don't know, and that's it. If they say, I don't know, well, what kind of boats are there? Well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
But if they say, I don't know, and this essentially
this
saying,
stupid.
I don't want to talk
about
this. If
they poo-poo the question.
They're not, I mean, I'm not gonna go on a second date.
Right, you can't poo-poo fun, esoteric questions.
And if they say the wrong, if they say the wrong kind of boat, there's not gonna be a second date.
Well, you can, yeah, you're gonna learn a lot. Airboat, auxiliary ship, banana boat, brig, bass boat. I'm like a bass boat. And you can't just say, because I'm a redneck. No, because I'm a fisherman. No,
it's the functionality of the boat.
I'm flat. I'm shallow. Bass boats are shallow.
Oh, really? So you're getting in. Oh, you're
so going, if you
want to
say, so if you want to say, well, I'm shallow, so I'm a bass boat. I don't know, what else would it mean about you if you were a bass boat?
Limited capacity. I think, first of all,
yeah.
I think you should go through the boat types, because I think the way that
canoe
you interpret the boats, like you just
it's
said shallow,
you.
That's your thing. Like I wasn't thinking in terms of shallowness, but you can bring it, I think that's
any
the point
way,
of the question.
There's no wrong answer.
Professor Punch, if she were here, she would be able to tell us, but I think it's just, it is what you make it.
I wish she worked for us.
Maybe that's how it works. Once you leave, your parents come and work for us.
Canoe.
Uh-huh.
Chundan Valam.
Not familiar.
Crash rescue boat. This is somebody who likes to swoop in and save the day, or
okay.
Whenever they're needed.
Yeah.
You know, they're there. I'm not reading every single boat that I wrote on this wiki. I'm just whichever hits me. Dinghy. Let's see, ferry. So this, I think, again, this is more of like a facilitator, somebody who likes to help people get from point A to point B, and that could be emotionally, it could be metaphysically, it could be physically if you're like a bus driver.
And that would be someone who was, in my interpretation, stuck in a pattern of only helping people, because a fairy just goes back and forth, back and forth.
So on a first
like
date,
a codependency kind
your
of
date's
thing.
Like, I think I'm a fairy because I'm stuck in a rut of helping people.
Yeah, I'd be like, no second date for you. Are you a dinghy?
Friendship sloop.
Okay, well, I didn't know that was a boat, but I'm definitely that.
Garbage scow. I think I know what that is. It's a boat that carries garbage. Garbage scow. Hydrofoil. Oh, this is technologically advanced. Mm. It reaches a speed and then it floats above the water. Well, not floats, it ascends. So this is like, I don't know what kind of person that would be. Maybe if you're like if your head's always in the clouds. I'm stretching here.
Well, I think a hydrofoil might be a little bit of a show off.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Here I am up above the water. You know,
you can't settle for just floating. You gotta levitate.
You always got to be moving too.
Inflatable boat.
Oh, mm-hmm. Reliant upon the hot air of other people.
Oh, I think that's you, man.
No, I've got all my own.
I blow
hot air.
A lot of smoke. You inflate with it. You blow a lot. Maybe I'm the inflatable boat because you're blowing smoke all the time. I'm talking BS.
I'm
blowing smoke up on my skirt.
Full of hot air, might be, which is still the same thing. Okay, keep going.
Airbag, man.
We got to talk about these.
Kayak, jet boat, lifeboat, long boat, log boat. Hmm. I'm skipping one that's gonna be my answer for later.
Really? Okay, I'm not looking.
Motorboat, naval ship, like a big battleship. If you're combatant, there's a boat called an optimist, which is kind of cheating. If you're like, oh, well, I tend to think of myself as if I'm a boat, I'm an optimist. Yeah. Like, I ain't a boat.
Yeah.
That's
no,
just.
No second date.
You're short-circuiting the exercise. Actually, I'm not. Optimist is a boat, and
it's a dinghy.
Also known as the bathtub, is a small single-handed sailing dinghy.
Yeah.
What else we got?
The optimist is an optimistic way to call yourself a dinghy.
Oh, P. We've got patrol boat, pirogue, or pleasure barge, which is how my wife thinks of me when her grandma's not looking.
Oh gosh, your grandma's always looking.
Pleasure craft, pontoon, powerboat. I don't know what a punt is. Is it type?
Oh, boat? I know what a punt is because I'm looking at doing that when I'm in England. It's like a canoe, basically a rowboat, and then you stand in it with a large stick and propel yourself along a creek.
Oh, really?
You can go punting in England.
So instead of rowing, you're pushing off the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I looked at one picture and that was my interpretation.
R, you got a riverboat. Oh, you got the big wheel in the back.
Steamboat.
A Rodney boat, which if your name's Rodney, that's also kind of short-circuiting the exercise here. schooner, sea kayak, ship's tender, skiff, skipjack, sloop. Come on the sloop, John B. Submarine. I don't consider, is a submarine a boat?
How do you say it?
A submarine.
Where's the B?
It's underwater.
I was like, is this a boat?
You ever tried to talk underwater?
Submarine.
Try to say words with B's underwater. You won't get far.
You mean a submarine? Yeah, I've heard of that. And when it's on the surface, it's a boat.
If you saw a submarine out there floating, would you say, hey, look at that boat?
Well, they called the German submarines U-boats, and that was a boat. It is a boat, it floats.
Torpedo boat, trawler, tugboat. Mm. Tugboat, I mean, that's
always helping people in a jam.
I feel like I'm that around you a lot. Like, come on, let's do it. Let's get going, man. No, I don't feel that way. I feel like I might need to be tugged. What? What are you laughing at?
Your grandmother-in-law is watching, man.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes I'm not motivated at work. Just give me a tug.
I know you didn't mean that as an innuendo. I know that you did not. He did not mean it.
The only boat term under V is very slender vessel.
Yeah, okay, well, dang, that's what I picked for myself.
Well, what are we doing here? I think we should devote an entire podcast to just reading Wikipedia lists.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And riffing on it. And the only one for Z is Zilly.
Zilly.
Okay, so what do you want to do at this point? Do you want to, you want to tell me what you think I am? And then I'll tell you what you think you are.
And then we'll go into the thing.
Okay, go first.
Well,
I'm not gonna be offended by any of this.
Well, first
I'm
of all,
open, I have an open heart.
Let me say a couple things. And
you don't have to apologize.
And laying the runway for this. I didn't think about this a lot.
Okay.
No, actually what I learned pretty quickly is that if you imagine a boat type, almost like a horoscope, you can pretty quickly like find a way to make it match a person. But I think I've got something that I think is...
Well, like a jet ski and a pontoon boat are so different and they...
This is actually remarkable that you said both of those.
Okay.
It's remarkable that we haven't talked about this at all and you just said those two things. Here's what I would say.
I am pretty remarkable. Thank you.
I think that someone who doesn't know you well.
Okay.
And maybe someone who just watches you on the internet might be like, Link's a jet ski, man.
A jet ski, yep, okay.
But I actually think you're a pontoon boat.
Really?
Yeah,
that's what you were thinking?
It's hilarious that you mentioned that. I was thinking that you were a pontoon boat, and let me explain why.
Those are like polar opposites.
You might be like, Link's a jet ski, you never know, he's nimble, he's quick, you never know where he's gonna be, and boom, he's there, and he's a little flashy.
He's always squirting a tiny stream of water directly into the air.
Right, exactly.
They all do that, right?
Yeah.
Wave runners and whatnot?
But I think that that's actually, the reason I don't think you're a jet ski is because jet skis change course very quickly. You never know where they're going to be. They're constantly changing direction, changing course.
You'll change course and then it'll take a right and you won't.
Right. And that is not your personality at all. You're much more grounded than I think most people understand.
I'm a soil man.
Now let me say a couple things about a pontoon boat that I think apply to you. Pontoon boats, they exist so people can have a good time.
Oh, at
like
your
what?
Service.
What is the what? I mean, think about it. You got a pontoon boat. It's like no one looks at a pontoon boat and is like, if people look at a pontoon boat and they're like, well, we're gonna have a good time on that boat.
Yeah.
Like the purpose of that boat is to get on the boat and have a party.
We're gonna slowly have a good time.
And I think a lot of people can be accommodated by that. There's a few things also about a pontoon boat and that it's actually remarkably stable. However.
It's got those two big barrels underneath it.
However, and it happens every so often and you hear it on the news.
Yeah.
When there is a pontoon boat accident,
what?
It's bad.
Oh gosh.
And it isn't like a sailboat that you knock it down and then it comes back the other. A pontoon boat goes under and everyone dies.
what does that mean about me? I don't know what you're saying. You're saying if something happened to me, a lot of people would die?
No, I am saying that you're way more flexible than you were when we were kids. But, I actually think that at this point in your life, you might actually be more flexible than the average person.
Are you about to take credit for that?
No, but okay. I do think being married for a long period of time and also being in a close friendship, business partnership
absolutely.
For a
yeah,
long time
definitely.
Makes people flexible. And so, but you, like a pontoon boat, is typically, it's on a lake. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm on a lake and this is where the fun is at and I'm happy to be here. And you could potentially, I could turn on the motor and I could get out there into the river and go into the ocean. But You're gonna have to you're gonna have to convince me to do
But practically speaking, there's a pontoon boat. Its home is a territory. It's typically a lake.
You know what?
I mean, maybe you can take them on a sound or something.
You know what makes
you're not gonna go out into the surf.
And I'm not trying. And again, this isn't a perfect analogy because I'm also not saying that you're not adventurous. But your general disposition tends to be like, you know what? If I can stay at home this weekend and clean my garage, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, I don't wanna react too much because I have a different answer, but there is a lot of overlap. And so I'd like to come back to the pontoon boat and see how it works with what I think, what my answer for myself is.
Okay.
I think my answer for you is the answer that you have in your own brain for yourself right now.
Okay.
I think that you are thinking, and I too am thinking of you as a sailboat.
Mm.
Now, I think first of all, just because whenever you are thinking about boats, I think the first thing you're gonna think about is a sailboat. You have this imagined, aspirational love affair with the idea of sailing.
True.
We've talked about this.
Right.
We may have even established it as a what you call a layer, and I call a phase, which we have discussed at length in an earlier Ear Biscuit that you can go back and listen to if you want to. If you pass a sailing book, you're gonna pick it up. If you pass a sailing channel on YouTube, you're gonna watch it.
True.
So I think that's the first thing you thought, and then you're motivated to make that describe you because again, like you said, it can describe anything.
Yeah, interesting.
But then if I'm like, I actually think this could work because a sailboat is, you think of like adventurous new thing. You know, I think, you have to put in the work when you're sailing. You just can't lay back and troll around. You can't just crank it up and steer. And it's my understanding. There's a sail involved.
Right.
And a lot of work and like a lot of research. Like the fact that you would research the Fibonacci sequence and then be angry at yourself that you hadn't done it before now. You felt the need to like state publicly that you're embarrassed by that. Is I think this dynamic of you wanna be able to say, okay, this being an accomplished sailor requires something. By the way, I think I'm just making an argument for why you want to be a sailor, not what your personality is.
Right, but it's about the boat, man.
Someone who sails needs to put in a lot of work, and then the fruits of that labor is that they can experience something new. And I do think that the work that you put into things is always motivated by experiencing something new. And I think it's well documented that the work that I put into things is to make something better or to make a situation better or to make the situation in contrast to more secure, more right. Yours is to achieve or experience something new. So like sailing is like, what's the next harbor?
Right.
What's the next adventure? What's around the next peninsula? And there's also a lot of wood. You like wood?
Yeah, I got wood.
You like it? A lot of wood in a sailboat. So again, I'm making more of an argument that you really like sailboats, but I do think that it could apply, and I think that's what you're gonna build on when you say that your answer is a sailboat.
Okay. So do you want to respond to what I said about you first?
I kinda wanna just go with it. Just say sailboat.
Okay.
Am I right?
You're not, well, you're half right. Here's why you're half right.
What's half a sailboat?
A boat that is sinking. My first thought was sailboat.
Of course, yeah.
And
so
then,
I'm right about that.
Upon further review, I thought, I want to be a sailboat, but I actually don't think that I quite am.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain. So what you said about like you know, and I you know, I tend to like embrace a new adventure, travel, like, and I'm using this as an analogy, like move into something new and unknown, and going through unknown, potentially uncharted, dangerous waters to get there, like that's my lifeblood. Like I absolutely love that.
And it implies achievement. That's the other part.
Yeah,
and one that I think drives you.
And that is, yeah, I'm, you know, we talked about it, we haven't done the podcast yet, but I am an Enneagram 3. And so I'm a performer, I'm an achiever, and I'm largely driven by accomplishment to my benefit and to my demise at times. But the one thing that I don't think applies to me with a sailboat is that a sailboat is, I think of myself as pretty resilient, like being able to right myself and that kind of thing, and in storms and that kind of thing. But a sailboat is very reliant. It's, but by definition, it is not self-propelled. It is, you gotta get, the wind's gotta come along. And I actually think that I'm actually a little bit less resilient than a sailboat, and I'm significantly more self-propelled than a sailboat. I actually think I'm a, I'm gonna use the qualifier, cheap yacht. and this is why I say that. So in some ways, like a yacht, like a power boat that's made to go long distances. So it embraces adventure. It can get you to the same places that a sailboat can. Not quite as sure of a thing as a sailboat, because again, you're under your own power. It doesn't have the same ability to ride itself. Yachts tend to be a little bit, depending on, and I say cheap because, you know, you go to like a seaside town, and you go to the harbor, and you see everybody's got their boats and they've got their yachts, and there's big yachts, there's little yachts, there's yachts in between. And you've got like the CEO yacht, which is this really expensive, magnificent yacht that's got like a helicopter pad on it. I'm not that. I'm like the guy who just got together money and went in debt to get this boat that kind of, it looks like it could belong in a harbor, but it's posing a little bit.
Okay.
But I think that the self-propelled nature of it is,
so you're a self-reliant poser.
Just because, you know, and it's funny because it's interesting, you know, as you, like you talk about your kids, and I look at my kids, and you see qualities from yourself and your kids, and qualities from your partner and your kids. Locke is like really just self-motivated, right? Like, mm-hmm. Once he got in his mind that he wanted to, you know, play basketball or make good grades, or, you know, like he's learning a language in school, and then he's learning a language on his own, and he's like, well, because learning a language is like so good for your brain. And like, I hear myself,
yeah,
when he goes into these explanations, but it's almost like it's intensified, because Jesse's also very self-motivated, so it's almost like it's very intensified in him, and you kind of like reflect back on yourself. But, and again, I think that I don't always think this is a good thing. I think that, like you said, I shouldn't feel any shame or embarrassment for not knowing what the Fibonacci numbers are, but I have a dual motivation for knowing them. It's part a genuine interest and a genuine curiosity, because it's like, this is a reality that exists in our universe that is this fundamental thing that can be observed in all these different ways. And it's like, it feels significant. It feels like I'd be missing out if I didn't understand it. But then the other half is, I wanna be able to talk about it. I wanna be able to tell someone about it so that I will seem smart. But I have to fight against that tendency.
Kind of like when a cheap yacht pulls up next to like a pontoon.
Exactly.
And just like starts filling his ear full of stuff.
Well, and that's the constant battle of the Enneagram 3, is like there's a lot of good that can come from that personality, but then you can actually get very caught up in your own stuff, you know, and you know, believe your own, what is it, what is the phrase, smell your own shit or something, what is it?
I've never heard that. I've done it, but I've never heard it.
You know what I'm saying. So anyway, I think I'm a cheap yacht.
Cheap yacht because you're self-motivated and you still like to go a lot of places.
And I suffer from imposter syndrome. I think that's where the cheap yacht comes in, is that we do a lot of different things. We have the privilege of doing a lot of different things. We talked about a little bit like playing at the Ryman, like there's many times that we get to do things and I suffer from heavy doses of imposter syndrome where I'm like, I shouldn't be here. Like I'm not, like I'm just a dude that can, you know, write a funny song and convince people that I've got some talent.
We got way too many balls jokes to be at this.
Right.
The.
Yeah, so I think that's where the cheap part comes
in. The high church of country music.
Yeah.
That's what I call it, the high church of country music. That's not what it's actually called. What's it called?
The mother church.
The mother church, okay. Who am I to critique that? You know, there's no wrong answers.
Right, yeah.
That's cool insight, that if we were on our first date, I'd be like, oh, no second date here. okay, shall I talk about my boat? The backdrop to my thought process was, Chrissy and I were talking about one of the contributing factors to the health of our marriage 19 years in. And I was like, you know, I just think for us, the compatibility, like the core compatibility that we had, we've changed a lot. And yeah, we've changed together, even though at every turn you don't have to, you know, who knows how, you can't control exactly the person you become. We're very fortunate that, you know, we've changed in a parallel path. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it has to do with that core compatibility, which I kind of boil down to, we both really place a high value on comfort and security. Like those are like, and so it motivates us so much that, yeah, you're exactly right. When I say like, when I'm given an opportunity of like, you wanna travel anywhere on the globe next weekend, or you wanna just stay at home and re-clean your garage. And that's not an easy decision. You know, it's like, it's I'm not saying it's automatic, but I'm saying that's a difficult decision for me and Chrissy. And it's like, that could be a big source of conflict. If somebody never wants to re-clean their garage, we got the same instinct when it comes to those things. And that conversation is kind of coloring my boatage. And so, yeah, I definitely thought about a pontoon boat because I was thinking about a jet ski versus a pontoon boat and how like jet ski's like all about fun, but a pontoon boat is still about, there's still fun. Yeah. A lot of fun, it's a party boat, but it's very, it's a controlled fun. Like right. There is a control element to like, I have a vision for how I think things should be. And my motivation is usually pretty pure in like, oh, I want to have fun. I want people to have fun. I want people to enjoy themselves, experience love, be themselves, that type of stuff. And then I moved on to, wow, I don't know if I'm a pontoon boat. I think I might be, I place such a value on things being like my space being nested and like the way that I want it. Like my home is such a haven to me. I'm like, I think I might be a houseboat.
Hmm. Okay.
And like I was kind of curious because, you know, Jesse has such a vision for how she wants your house to look. And I feel like that's weighted much more towards her. And it is for me and Chrissy too. Like she's very talented at decorating and does our house and stuff and all that stuff. But I'm very much involved in like, in everything because I want it to be how I want it to be from a practical standpoint. Like I take so much joy in knowing that everything's where I want it to be in the garage or like that our backyard works in this way or I want to be able to sit here and see this while doing this and listening to this music and like put a lot of work into that, into my house. So that's when I started to think, yeah, I could be a houseboat, but I think I'm a yacht. And I settled on, in the brief amount of time that I thought about this, I actually settled on, and I ain't even talking about like a two-bit yacht. We both have said yachts for ourselves. My answer is freaking yacht. And I went all the way to like helicopter pad and everything because I place an overemphasis on my environment being exactly how I want it to be and it as luxurious as it can be. Like I want my life to be engineered, not for my pleasure alone, but for my comfort and security, you know? So that's when I thought about a yacht, I guess maybe it's a pontoon yacht. I do like to go places and I like to experience adventure, but it has to be much more on my terms than I think yours would be. I didn't think about like being, am I self-motivated? That didn't enter into my equation or anything.
I can see that.
Comfort and security. Like I want a yacht with a chef.
Well, maybe you're like a yacht.
A security detail.
You're a yacht on like the Great Lakes. You know what I'm saying? The Great Lakes can be, I mean, you can't see the other side.
Are there yachts on the Great Lakes?
Heck yeah. Have you seen how big they are? Look at a map, man. They're massive.
Yeah, I've just never looked
at the Great Lakes. You can get caught in a squall on the Great Lakes too.
Chicago. I've seen the Great Lake at Chicago. Open the door and it just blasts.
And also, a yacht is a pretty broad, incidentally, a very broad term. I mean, like, I don't know what the technical definition of it is, but it is one of the more flexible terms for boats. So it doesn't surprise me that for different reasons we ended up there. I mean, I think that, yeah, I
could probably just go back to settling on houseboat because I think that does, I've never been on a houseboat, but I imagine.
I spent an evening on one.
Really?
A weekend.
Well, I imagine them being, if you're gonna live there, they better be how you want them to be, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to, I can endure this for until we get to like, if we get through the squall and I can get back to the mainland.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and this is another show I wanna do. I was talking to you about this. Because you talk about like making these decisions and getting things the way that you want.
Yeah.
And the way that I relate to that, because we're basically redoing our homes in, you know, similar amounts of change. Like you guys have done more already, but like I'm redoing my whole backyard this summer and we've redone, like there's a bathroom inside. You guys just finished a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's renovations, we redid our kitchen, that kind of thing. And my involvement is very much like, aesthetically, I don't, like, I care, but I also know that if Jesse narrows it down to five different options for tile,
they're all gonna be awesome.
They're all gonna be great. So right. If like she's showing them to me, they've already gotten through so many levels of discretion that I'm just like, just make the decision. Like, I'm not particular. I want it to be cool and I want it to look good, but I know that it will be if you do it. And so I'm not particular, so I'm not gonna make, what I do is I say, I care about like a few practical things, not to the level of detail, anywhere close to the level of detail that you do, but I like, okay, where's the grill gonna go? It's like, okay, I'm gonna go out there. This is important. I'm gonna use this thing. I'm gonna be the man at the grill. I wanna think about what kind of grill it's gonna be. And I'll get really excited about the specific type of grill and where it is, but then it's not gonna go much deeper than that. And I think, you know, what I wanted to say is the episode that I wanted to do is we're both in the market to get a new vehicle.
You can get a boat that drives on land, I think.
And I'm fascinated with the differences in the way that we make that decision.
Oh.
So you're talking about surrounding yourself with luxury and getting things the way you want, but the decision to get a new car has been one that has, I mean, I'm not gonna get into it because I think there's a whole episode
there. Well, we can save that.
But it's interesting because—
So we gonna have a boat episode and a car episode?
Well, but at least—
The transportation series.
But at least the boat episode is not like, what kind of boat am I gonna buy? Because that's like next level douche.
Okay.
But if it's just like, what kind of car am I gonna buy?
What kind of private plane am I going to?
We could get into some douchiness in that conversation. But I think it's very revealing about the nature of our personalities and the way that we make decisions about those kinds of things. But the way that we both ended up kind of landing on yacht.
That's funny. I think that means that we should go in on a yacht.
Huh.
With 100 other people. How many people is it? I mean,
a yacht expensive. Share?
Yeah, can you do that? I think I'm much more interested in like getting a yacht than I am about more introspection at this point. So let's continue our own conversation that way. But I'll open it up. Hashtag Ear Biscuits. Let us know what boat you think you are. And if you're on a first date and you're listening to this, don't listen to us during the first date. I mean.
Yeah, that would be weird.
I mean, but I do recommend that you recommend us to anyone you're dating.
But if somebody.
And listen separately so we get twice the listens.
If somebody asks you to listen to a podcast on the first date, that is a red flag, even if it's this one.
Yeah. But let's make an exception for ours.
I mean, maybe a portion of
any other
podcast. But a podcast is like typically like an hour of just listening to other people.
How's that different than going to a movie? All right, let's save that too. Let's say we got another whole episode about first dates.
You shouldn't go to a movie on the first date. That's a red flag.
There you go.
What are you gonna learn about somebody sitting next to them looking at a screen? Nothing.
Well, if you
watch a movie and you talk about it, but I don't know, man.
I don't, yeah, that's a hot take. That's harsh take.
Okay.
Hashtag Ear Biscuits, let us know what kind of boat you are and why, or what kind of boat someone you're dating said they were and why. Let's make a recommendation. Is it my turn?
Yep.
I gotta go back to music because here's the thing. Nothing is more exhilarating than, it probably is. I gotta backtrack already, but I love the exhilaration associated with discovering an artist. And then realizing they got a whole backlog of material. So it's not like the horses in the back guy. You look at him on Spotify, that's the only song he's got. Well, he's got the remix with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, pretty limited.
I'm not recommending that. I'm not panning it either though. But when you look on Spotify, you find something somewhere and then you're like, whoa, there's albums. Like I could deep dive. Let's do it. And then when you like the song and then you click over to the wiki because you like knowing a little bit about the backstory and you realize that this artist is described as a virtuoso violinist who then is also well known as a whistler.
What?
He's a virtuoso violinist and a virtuistic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whistler.
At the same time?
Could be. Yeah, he can sing and play the violin at the same time. And he's got a number of instrumental albums.
How did you find
one is guy? Called Canyon and one is called River. And I think at least with the Canyon one, maybe with both, he would take his violin and he would play in that location.
What's his name?
In Utah. I ain't telling you yet, man. I'm building it up.
Oh.
See, you want it so bad. But you can't get it yet.
Well, I wouldn't say I want it that bad.
And he takes his violin and he does these looping and layering parts. And it's amazing. But that's just instrumental stuff. And then his brand new album that just came out, I'm like, this sounds like the guy who Father John Misty has been impersonating. I mean, he's got that sound. So I'm just joking. I'm sorry, Father John. I'd like to be your friend. I'm not saying you're impersonating.
So he sings as well?
He sings.
Oh, it's not all whistling, because that would get old.
Right. So he is a lyricist and a vocalist and a touring musician. And his name is Andrew Bird. Dude is awesome.
Andrew Bird.
Yeah, shout out to Andrew Bird. Check out his song Sisyphus. He's got a whistling part in that. And it's one thing to hear the whistle, but then it's another thing to watch him on his Instagram perform it live, and he just effortlessly goes into this like immaculate whistle.
I give a lot to whistle. Well, I can't whistle, man.
You can't whistle at all.
You can make yourself an instrument at any time. I have like, I can hit like two notes.
Too hairy. I can whistle like this too.
This is as high as I can get.
That's a tongue whistle.
And I can go.
That sucks, man.
I'm like a tea kettle. You know what I'm saying? I got a limited range.
Now I can't. You took away my whistle.
Yep.
I can't do the fingers in the mouth whistle. That's a big dad play.
Yeah.
We gotta work on that. So there it is. Andrew Bird, check him out. Shouts out to the man with the whistle, with the golden whistle.
Okay.
All right. Let's start searching up some yachts, man. Let's see how much
Maybe we should just.
I mean, let's just rent a yacht.
Maybe we should just go on a pontoon boat first.
Like Chase said, he went to a wedding this past weekend on a yacht.
Well, you remember I wanted to have my birthday party on a yacht and have the Yacht Rock band, and then I looked into the price.
Yeah, and if that's an indication, you will not be purchasing a yacht.